Hockey with the voice of the Avs, Connor McGehee, on the team.
He'll have the call on the team tonight. Game 3 of the Avalanche and Jets from Ball Arena, pregame at 7:30. Connor McGehee joins us twice in a week, and I know you texted me. I texted you. Said, well, wasn't I already on this week? But look, the people meter stuff, the Nielsen stuff, goes off the charts when Connor McGehee's on. So we need.
Well, now I know you're lying to me. There's no way that that's.
Oh, it's the juice you bring is immeasurable, sir. It's true.
Don't flatter. It's false.
No, it's not. No, it's not, sir. No, it's not. Also, the chairman of the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series, Jamie Hamilton, you're one of his favorite guests, and he was willing to move his schedule around to accommodate you anytime because he came on the other day. So.
Well, thanks, Jamie.
Yeah, he loves hearing you talk about hockey. So, thanks for coming on today, Connor. I know it's a busy day.
Yes, it is.
But you're back in familiar, happy territory, and the Avs are tied up 1-1 on this series. Alexander Georgiev had a rough, brutal game in Game 1, gave up a goal early on, and then the Avalanche settled in. He settled in, 5-2 victory in Game 2. What was the big difference for Georgie? What do you feel like was the thing that kind of flipped the script from him from Game 1 to Game 2?
Team defense and confidence, really. I mean, and it can be just simple as that. And there are some things we can't put our fingers on, even though we want to. But I just think that it was everybody coming together to support everybody else. And Georgiev made the simple saves, some big saves. Frankly, it's more impressive that the Avs are down 1-0 and down 2-1. There's nothing you can do about the Scheifele goal. It's magnificent. It's a beautiful play. Nobody on earth is stopping that. But again, after that, it's the lockdown that the Avalanche score 4 straight goals and Georgiev allows none. So I think it's just self-confidence and a team defending in front, and that's what made that game the second-best save percentage game of Georgiev's postseason career.
And I think when you look at the high-danger chances in Game 1, there's like 7 of them looking at some of the numbers, and he pretty much gave up a goal on every single one of those. There was like 11 of them in Game 2, and he stopped the majority of those. And so when they had excellent opportunities to score, Alexander Georgiev responded to that challenge at that moment.
Absolutely, and he had to. You know, I think that that tells you a lot about who he is, too, because we all go through tough times, and anyone who doesn't admit that, that they go through a slump of their own in one way or another is, just like you a moment ago, lying to me. And so it's not going to last forever. It never does, and it's how you respond when literally all the chips are down. And Georgiev knew that if it was the same type of performance in Game 2 than Game 1, then they would have to talk about a different goaltender probably. Or maybe not. I mean, here's the thing is that Jared Bednar, his coaching staff, know the situation, know Georgiev so much more than any of us ever could. And so that's why it's tough for us to speak on that. We can just do it via the information we're given and what we see on the ice. But I just know that watching the post-game reaction from Gabe Landeskog, Miles Wood telling us in the post-game interview that they gave Georgiev the game puck as the MVP, I mean, that tells you a lot about his performance and about the team rallying around him.
Avs radio voice Connor McGehee with us today on the Team Sports Network, and it was also a redemption game, not just for Alexander Georgiev, but also for Josh Manson. Had the bad turnover that led to a goal in Game 1, and went out and played really well. He raced in on a breakaway, able to get a goal through the 5-hole on Connor Hellebuyck. Really was outstanding in that game too. And so for Josh Manson, it was also redemption as well.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the good part about a playoff series is you just, you're right up and you're ready to go again, and you know that if you lay an egg, you can't lay a second one. And if I were Jared Bednar, I'd put Josh Manson on the list for shootouts going forward now, because that was exemplary. Like, he fakes the shot, goes to the backhand, slides it underneath. That was it was only second place impressive to Nathan MacKinnon, knowing exactly when Manson was going to pop out of the penalty box and put the puck on his stick and set up that breakaway. So, wonderful play overall.
And I think one of the things, too, that you go back to game two that was impressive was the secondary scoring. It wasn't Mac. It wasn't McCarr. It wasn't the Moose. It was Miles Wood, back-to-back games where he scores a goal. Zach Parise gets his first goal of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Josh Manson's goal. Just all that secondary scoring that came for the Avalanche in game two was so impressive.
Well, in the first two games, you have 13 different players with points, 7 different goal scorers in those two hockey games. I know Cale McCarr leads the series with 5 points. He leads all defensemen in the postseason with 5 points. But if Winnipeg wants to match at home and put Lowry on MacKinnon, and he still gets 3 points, and Mikko Rantanen still gets 3 points, you can't forget about everybody else. I mean, here comes Miles Wood is obviously the first one that comes to mind. And, I mean, we jokingly said he may never score a goal ever again towards the end of the regular season. And then he shows up in back-to-back games. Arturi Lehkonen is this generation's Claude Lemieux, yes, with his propensity to have enormous playoff performances with 2 deflection goals in Game 1 and Game 2. So, that's where everything that we talked about in and around the trade deadline comes into play in the playoffs, and that has to make Jared Bednar and Chris McFarland feel pretty good about where they're at offensively.
Why does Lehkonen just stand out in the playoffs? Not that he has bad regular season or anything like that, but Arturi just seems like, you're right, when the playoffs roll around, man, it's like he hits another gear. The light switch gets turned on, and it's a different player.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that about so many players and wonder why. I mean, there's a lot of people, and whether you're playing, whether you're coaching, whether you're doing our job, where the big stage is preferred, and you like that more than just a Tuesday night in Columbus, right? As much as it's great to be in the National Hockey League and get up for every game, there's just some extra energy and potion about the Stanley Cup playoffs. And when you have guys shine in those spotlights, I think that says more about the type of player that they really are. I mean, he still had almost a career year with the Avalanche that we didn't really talk about enough. But it's such a microscope in the postseason, and deservedly so, Arturi Lehkonen, pretty much everywhere he goes, makes big plays and gets the attention that he deserves.
He'll have the call tonight on the team tonight. Connor McGahey, radio voice of the Avalanche, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. Through the first 2 games, Avalanche have had 78 shots on Connor Hellebuyck. It's the tied for third most to start a playoff run in franchise history. They put a lot of rubber on Hellebuyck, and they've had to. That guy's a tremendous goaltender, but the Avalanche, 6 goals in the first game. They get 5 in game 2. They've been able to get after Connor Hellebuyck these first 2 games.
Hellebuyck is last in the Stanley Cup playoffs in goals against average at 5.06. 18-24 in the postseason. In his last 6 games in the playoffs, he's 1-5 with a 4.34 goals against and an 8.76 save percentage. And he's allowed at least 3 goals in all 6 of those games. So with sort of on the opposite track of Arturi Lehkonen and big game performances and playoffs, I mean, it appears that in recent memory, especially, Connor Hellebuyck has almost done the opposite. I mean, he's going to win the Vezina this year. He won the Jennings Trophy for his regular season play. But the numbers, again, in the 5-game series versus Vegas last year, in the first 2 versus the Avalanche this year, have not been what they have been in the regular season. And the Avalanche hope that continues here tonight and in Game 4 Sunday afternoon.
Avs get back at home. Best record in the NHL at home. I mean, this turns into, I hate to use this, sounds like sports talk, hyperbole and all that, but it does kind of turn into a must-win game for Winnipeg to a degree.
Yeah, I mean, because it's a best of five now, with the Avalanche having home ice advantage. And so I know that Winnipeg won both games here in the regular season, but as we've just established, it's not the regular season. I think what the Nuggets are doing to the Lakers is definitely the exception as opposed to the rule when it comes to complete dominance over an opponent straight. But yeah, the Avalanche, I think it's almost good that they lost that last game at home 7-0 to the Winnipeg Jets, because they knew that that was unacceptable. They know what went wrong. And the first two games in this series have shown what works against the Winnipeg Jets and what they want to do. And now, as Winnipeg wanted to play the matchup game, Jared Bednar doesn't always do that, but now he can save that one in the chamber for when he wants to put MacKinnon out against a tired line or the third D pair for the Winnipeg Jets and Dylan Sandberg. And it looks like Nate Schmidt will actually be in for Logan Stanley tonight in game number three. But you can do that now on home ice. And nobody has more points on home ice this season than Nathan MacKinnon in the entire National Hockey League. The team one win shy of the franchise record for home wins that they set back in 2022. So this is a good scenario for the Avalanche here in games 3 and 4.